Good evening and welcome to episode 11 of the Borussia Dortmund London Community Podcast. Episode 11, time flies when you're having fun. And I'm flying solo tonight, but I have a very special guest who I'm just going to describe him before I introduce him to you. So the guest this evening is the current head of goalkeeping coaching, in fact, at Al Wada Football Club in United Arab Emirates. And he's a Dutch player who has played with Ajax and, of course, Borussia Dortmund, why else? And also NEC, Venlo and Almere City, achieving 270 professional matches in total. Our guest has a son who is also a professional goalkeeper, and he currently plays for the Borussia Dortmund Legends team, most recently against the Liverpool FC in Dortmund in their 3-2 win. Good evening, Mr. Dennis Rentener.
Thank you.
Great.
Nice to be here.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're so honoured to have another genuine Borussia Dortmund player. Dennis, what have you been doing with your day today?
Today? Not much. I was coming back yesterday to the Emirates, to Abu Dhabi. And today we're still talking about renewing the contract.
Okay. And tell me, how is the corona situation in United Arab Emirates?
Well, when we went here in the airport, we got directly, we had to fill in some forms and we got tested at the airport pretty fast, everything. But and the day after, in the morning, we got the results. Was happily negative, and further, I think it's still very around here, because also in the training, what I hear is they have to train in groups, and then in three groups from nine, and then they have to change it also in that group in groups from five and four players. So it's still here.
Absolutely. Well, I hope that the situation clears up, and certainly the corona hasn't affected United Arab Emirates as much as the UK or United States or other countries.
Yes.
Well, Dennis, you've had an amazing career, and really, I guess, where do we start? I would say at the beginning, don't you think?
It's okay with me. What you want? It's your day.
Fantastic. Thank you. We're really honored to have you on the show. We really try to just open up the world of Borussia Dortmund for the fans and really give them an idea of what it's really like. But before we come to Borussia Dortmund, let's start about your early career. Dennis, I myself also played for 20 years as a left back, so I was very familiar with being shouted at by the goalkeepers and trying to keep that line and defending and, you know, taking a lot of responsibility in the back line. How did you come to be a goalkeeper, really? And was it always your dream to be a professional football player?
Yeah, for me it was always a dream, of course. Like so many kids and boys and girls now who want to who wants to achieve it to be a professional player. I started very, very young. When I was 5 years old, I started at a very small team in my hometown in Nijmegen, and the club was called Set Away. That's in Dutch, yeah. But it's black on white, was it mean?
Yeah.
Because we had shirts like Juventus, and I was only playing with boys who were 3 years older than me, because there was no for my age there was no team. So it was very, very difficult. And after that year, a lot of friends of mine were coming also at the club. And then someone was of the coach was asking who's going to be in the goal. So I thought, last year I only run, I didn't get the ball, I have to run too much. So I said, yeah, okay, I go in the goal, so I don't have to run so much. So I'm from that time, yeah, so from six or so, I started with goalkeeping.
I always thought that was a joke that people were saying that the goalkeeper, I remember my mother, Shana, she was always laughing at me and saying, oh, you should go in goal because you're lazy. But
yeah, but I was not typical lazy or something, but it was like you know, when my sons were going to play football, then I saw a difference between 5 and 8 is very, very big, and that's why I made the step to be a goalkeeper, because I thought, yeah, it would be the same when we play together with older guys.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, from my perspective, Dennis, I really dreamed about being the goalkeeper, because I always thought it was, I remember my childhood idol, one of them was Dino Zoff. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
And Dino Zoff, really, he was just like the man. He was really an amazing goalkeeper. He played till he was 42 years old at elite level. And I just remember thinking, you know, wouldn't it be incredible to be in such a position of responsibility, to be the guy who saves the penalties, who flying through the goal like that? Who was your childhood goalkeeper idol?
For me?
Yeah.
As a goalkeeper, yeah. How I was, I don't know. I was just crazy, I think, a little bit also. Like goal.
Like goalkeepers, yeah.
Yeah, like goalkeepers, but yeah, so not afraid for anything. Just to keep the ball out of the goal.
And who
I would do anything.
Amazing. Well, it takes incredible courage. That's certainly something I've seen. And in fact, the injuries to goalkeepers can be quite extreme as well. Just in February, I went up to watch to report on Borussia Dortmund's game between Derby County, the English youth champions, against Borussia Dortmund's under-19 team. And Luca Unbehauen, the young goalkeeper there, somebody came into the goal area and then they stood with the studs on his thigh, on the inside of his leg, you know?
Yeah.
And it was quite an ugly injury, and I interviewed him after the game, and I was thinking, wow, you know, you need real courage to be a goalkeeper sometimes.
Yes, it's needed, but imagine, you know, that they want to shoot as hard as possible from 1 or 2 meters. They not want to kill you, but you think they want to kill you. They want to score, of course.
Wow.
But it's okay, you know, you learn also, and yeah, you get used to it. That's it also, and that's when I, for me, yeah, from 6 years old till 38, you know, then you didn't know something else. It was like that.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Well, we'll come to talking about the intricacies of your career at multiple clubs and also multiple countries. But the question I asked before was, who was your hero as a goalkeeper? Which goalkeeper did you used to admire as a young boy? Maybe you had some posters, or you used to think this guy is the best goalkeeper ever, something like that.
I had in the beginning. I had when I was very young. I saw from Feyenoord, Joop Hiele, and he was always crazy shouting and. To the players, and he had some nice dives, you know. And after that, also like Hans van Breukelen, he was of course winning the championship, the European Championship with Holland in '88, and Van der Sar, of course, was also a goalkeeper where you look at.
Yeah, Edwin van der Sar.
It was especially Dutch goalkeepers. It was not like yeah, like I looked at foreign goalkeepers, but it was more like I followed how they were doing, you know, the Dutch goalkeepers.
Yeah, Edwin van der Sar played for Manchester United, and I think he was captain of Manchester United at one point.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, big, very big, tall goalkeeper with his feet. He was good. He was very, how do you say, relaxed, you know, in the goal, no stress.
Absolutely fantastic. Yeah, absolutely fantastic. I've seen some interviews and a real gentleman as well with it. And
yes.
We'll definitely be talking about some of those Dutch greats. And indeed, there have been so many Dutch greats. So before we get on to talking about one particular Dutch great who you were coached by, tell me, so you're a young boy and you're living in Holland and you're playing football. And I guess this is the thing that every fan like me really wants to know, because, you know, we just can't imagine what that feels like. But how does the moment come when suddenly you go from just having fun to suddenly you're actually becoming a professional? I mean, what actually happened? What was your story?
My story was, like I just told, that I started with six, with goalkeeping at a small club in Nijmegen. And after that, maybe I was 9 years old. And then I'll go to NEC Nijmegen.
Yes, a well-known
that
club.
Was, that was, you know, a professional team. But the youth was under the amateurs. So I played there my whole, the whole youth I did over there till... what's called now, on the 19, I think, or on the 21. And from there on, I was going, when I was 18 years old, I was now 16 years old, I was training sometimes when there was no goalkeeper with the first team. But then I was very, shy and quiet. So it was difficult. It was a very different time than when you're ending at your career. The players, but also the things that they have, and the money they earned, and they did the same like players on the end. But how does it feel? You fight for it, and you want to achieve it. And sometimes, you have days you think, oh, it's not gonna happen. And sometimes, then you have days, hey, you feel well, and everything is going well. And then, you have the positive vibe again.
Wow, amazing.
It's not easy, because you have also to do with coaches who have their own things to deal with. They have to make they have to make results, you know, on the short term.
Absolutely
so
amazing.
As an 18-year-old goalie. And sometimes they want you to train, and then you're there, but the other goalkeeper has a job, you know. It was not like he was fully professional, so he had a job in the morning, and in the afternoon he came training, but I was always there in the morning and afternoon. But suddenly then you had some time, he said, the coach said to me, go behind the goal, and I'm waiting to train, you know, and then you're young and also a little bit crazy in your head sometimes. So I go to the coach, I say, in the morning I'm good, and in the afternoon he's here, I'm not good enough, or what? And then he said, hey, you have to be a little bit more respect or something, you know. I said, yeah, you too, because you need me in the morning, and then it's okay. And now I'm here behind the goal just waiting to do something. So after that they put me back in the second squad, like it's called that in that time. And that kind of things are also happening, you know, in your career.
Wow, it's amazing. So what we can say basically is that NEC, you kind of were lucky enough to join a professional first Eredivisie team in the youth academy. Yeah. And you just basically floated to the top amongst the kids. And and you had the talent and ability to actually get picked and to sign a contract. Can you remember being invited to play for the first time for the first team, what we might call your debut? And how was the feeling when you told your parents, you know, oh, I've got a professional contract, I'm going to be a pro player? Must have been pretty cool, no?
Well, yeah, I was at first sight, I didn't have any contract and I was with the first team. And I had 75 euro a month or something just for traveling. And yeah, and I was 18 or 19. And I was doing this and everything, you know, because I like it and I want to achieve something in it. And then a year later, they said to me, yeah, Dennis, we're going to double up your travel amount. I said, so, very good, very good. So I go to 150 euros and a month. But after that, after 6 months or something, the coach said, yeah, it's not possible to have Dennis like this in this amount and what he's doing in training and everything. He has to get a small contract. So I was maybe 20 or so that I signed my first contract.
Wow, amazing. So we could say really that the important thing is first put yourself up against the great people, challenge yourself and succeed. Yeah. And then secondly, be prepared to make sacrifices, even if you don't get a lot of money at the beginning and so on, or you know, you don't get all the glamour and the respect, just be willing to sacrifice until you get your achievement, until you get your target.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess, so, thank you. And I guess, Dennis, what we see nowadays is a lot of the youngsters, they don't have the character to stick it out. Maybe some had the chance, the talent, but they think, oh, if I don't get immediately a Porsche and 50,000 per month, then I failed, right?
Yeah, that's what I say, you know, when I saw the beginning, when I was 16 years old and training with the first team, if you saw that guys were, maybe half of the team was working, you know. And but they played in the highest league.
So
it's so different that you see. Yeah, what you see now is that players from 15 or 16, they have to get a contract, and they're only playing for the contract now. A lot of players, and not for the game. You know, you have to love the game to make the best of it.
Do you think sometimes that we fans love the game more than the players, some of the players?
I'm sure.
Wow, that's an amazing...
It's sure, for sure.
Amazing, amazing insight. You, as you can imagine, the dream is so incredible for all of us fans to be a professional player. It's just something, you know, that we all dream about, really. But tell me, before we go off too much into dreaming about things... Johan Neeskens was one of your coaches. Wow, that's one of the legends of Dutch football, really. You can't get much more famous than that.
almost not more. No, he was was great to have him as a coach, and when he came, I started as first goalie, and everybody was a bit like, I was a little bit, I was 24, I think, at that time. And everybody was thinking, can he do it or can he not do it about me? So, but he had, after a preseason, he had confidence in me. And, that was, I think, a good thing. And what we did was very good. Also, we had a very stable team. With a good mix of old players and some young players, and we had also a lot of young international players.
That sounds great.
And that was a good, very good combination, I think, at that time.
Who were, apart from Mr. Neeskens, who were the who was of course a great of the Holland team? I think of 1978, Argentina 78. And also, I think Germany 74, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, yeah. I just saw something yesterday, I think, on on Facebook. There was an interview with Johan Neeskens about 74 and with Willem van Hanegem, and they were together on the midfield, and also they were talking about what they could do and everything, you know, like if someone was hitting hard to a player of Holland, and they were looking at it, they were speaking to each other like, hey, let's watch this guy. When he do it again, we'll take him. And they were speaking like that on the pitch, they said. But they also said, yeah, there was maybe one camera. So if something happened out of sight of the ball, nobody saw it.
Yeah, it's wonderful to hear about the teamwork. And indeed, I remember my very first, literally my very first ever football match that I watched on TV was 1978 World Cup final between Argentina and Holland. And I remember standing on the street and only my neighbor had a TV, and it was summer and they left the window open so I could stand on the street and look through the window and watch the football match. And he never invited me in to watch the game, but I got to watch the entire game from the street. And I remember that football made such a huge impression on me that I really decided myself that I wanted to play football. And now I'm a football journalist. So, yeah, being a journalist is pretty cool too.
I can imagine to find out everything.
Tell me, I was incredibly impressed to read that you became the Dutch keeper of the year, the goalkeeper of the whole Eredivisie. How was that feeling for you? How did that come about? You must have beaten some of the great, great goalkeepers.
Yeah, I don't know exactly who was in the league then. But that year, I think it was 2002, 2003. We made it for NEC since, I think, 20 or 25 years to European football.
UEFA Cup, right?
Yes. And that season was incredible. Everything together was the right way, you know, in the team, defending, attacking, to get luck sometimes, you know, when we were behind 1-0 or something, nobody was frustrated, or everybody was like, okay guys, let's go on and we're gonna make this again, you know. And yeah, it was a crazy season. I think also I had the half of the season a clean sheet.
Amazing.
And with the team like NEC, it was it was not normal like that. And how we end that season, so we played against RKC Waalwijk, the last game, and the day before, you know, we have another team in Holland. It's in Arnhem, and they were
Vitesse?
Calling me like I don't say, but. They were calling me, fans from them were calling me and threatening me, like, if you win tomorrow, we're gonna hurt you and this and that, and we will be there behind you in the stadium, like that kind of things. They were calling day before. So I said to the coach, yeah, listen, I was on the voicemail and everything. So the coach say, okay, I say, just put someone behind me just to be sure, you know, so I don't have to think about this, this things. And then also that day, they came with that I was goalie of the year from that season. So the day after, we had to play. We didn't play a very good game, but I won't forget everything. It was a day to remember. And we made it in the maybe 93rd minute or something, we made 1-0, and that made us, instead of 8, we were going to the fifth place and going UEFA.
UEFA Cup, absolutely amazing. And of course, as we know, Borussia Dortmund was struggling a lot during the 1980s, during my first seasons. I mentioned that my first ever football match was 1978, watching the Holland versus Argentina, an incredible game for me to watch for my very first game. And you can imagine how I became infected by the football at that time. But we moved to Dortmund when I was about 10 years old to live in Dortmund. And then I started going to Borussia Dortmund. And you you moved to Borussia Dortmund in season 2005-2006. So it's amazing, really. As I said, I mean, my dream when I started this podcast was to talk to real players of who have played in Borussia Dortmund. So if you will, share with us your experience of you get signed suddenly by one of the greatest teams in the world. I mean, you know, what? How did that come about? And what was that initial impression of Borussia Dortmund want me to come, the eight-time German champions and Champions League winner of 1997?
Yeah. How it was? It was first. I think they had another goalie, Bernd Meyer. And but he was injured on in the last game, I think, of that season, of season 2004-2005, he gets injured on his knee. So who was coach? Bert van Marwijk, he was coach over there. He called my agent if I wanted, because I was free and I was looking for a new challenge. And so it came after the season. We played the last game against Heerenveen, and maybe 2 days later, I was there in Dortmund to speak. They showed me everything. It was incredible, you know, when you go to the stadium, and it was crazy. And it was not the first time I was there in the stadium, but now I saw it like. Like it's empty, you know. Before I was there to look a game, and it was maybe 2 years before or something.
Oh, that's incredible. So you actually had been to Borussia Dortmund just as a fan, really. So you were kind of a bit of a fan of BVB already.
I was just together. I was invited with someone. Over there, and he took me there. He said, "Look, this is football, you know. This is like a stadium and everything." And it was very close to Nijmegen. It was maybe a 1 hour drive to go over there, and it was incredible, the atmosphere and everything. And then when I came back 2 years later to look at the stadium when it was empty, it was also a thing like, "What is this? When you stand here?" And the people are there, and you go on the pitch. What is going to happen with you? You know? But yeah, it was crazy feelings when you go on the pitch over there.
Absolutely right. Of course, the yellow wall, the Südtribüne, is amazing.
It's
and
crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
For sure, we hear.
You feel like you're going back in time, and you're 6 years old, and you're. You're playing football, but you feel like a small boy when you go on that pitch and you come in front of the Südtribüne. It's unbelievable. You cannot describe it, you know.
26,000 people just behind that goal with the yellow and black flags and everything. Yeah. It must have been a move up from what is already a great league in Holland, the Eredivisie, where you're playing against Sparta Rotterdam and big clubs like Feyenoord and also PSV and Ajax, and then suddenly you have Schalke, Bayern München, Hamburg, and some of the huge German clubs. Was it a big move up for you? Was it a very big challenge to suddenly be playing against teams like Bayern with all the power that they have and the world-class players and so on?
You know, in Holland, the league is okay, but in Germany, you know, we have in Holland, we have maybe 70 million people, and in Germany, 80 or so. So the difference is everywhere in the stadiums, in the other teams. There's more more money to get better players, you know. It was before the World Cup, I think, that year. Yeah,
the wonderful 2006 World Cup, which I attended with my...
So it was before that, so everybody was also looking at that, that they have to arrange everything for the World Cup in the stadiums and everything. So the stadiums were very well. Everywhere in the media, you know, the first time I was interviewed, I thought it was this. You know, in Holland, you have one, maybe two journalists to speak to after a game or something. And when it was really crazy, a game like against Ajax, because they were coming for Ajax, but we did play well or something, then you had four maybe. But there it was different. It was different. Everything was bigger. Everything.
And you're still a young player. And who was the guy you remember first meeting there? Was it Susi Zorc, Michael Zorc, or Rainer Traubal, or who was?
Yeah.
Michael Meyer, maybe.
It was Michael Zorc and Teddy
De Beer.
Wolfgang, yeah.
Yeah, one of my heroes, Teddy. I've met him a few times.
Of course.
He had that great song, Teddy Bear.
Very kind. And very good coach also for me. You know, he was not like some coaches are like, goalkeeper coaches are, like, are for the first goalkeeper, for the first goalie, you know. And but he was also with me doing a lot of things, working together. You want to get everything out of me.
Good to hear.
That's what he did.
Yeah, the German professionalism is incredible. I played 5 years in Germany myself at a lower league level, obviously, but I certainly remember very well the coaches and the standard of play there was really good. And I'm sure that many of the shots I learned and so on, I really never would have learned them as well as I learned them in Germany. So, yeah, you met Michael Zorc and Teddy De Beer, and I guess you signed your contract and you did that presentation with the jersey and so on. Who did you actually sign with at the time? Were there any new guys joining with you?
There were some new guys. I think Buckley was new. Philip Degen. Who else?
Absolutely.
Cedric van der Gun, I think he came later.
Absolutely. Delron Buckley, what a guy. We interviewed him actually 2 weeks ago, and we're meeting with him in London when he comes from South Africa. And absolutely fantastic chatting with him. He had a difficult time in Dortmund, but I believe that he was one of your friends along with Ebbe Smolarek. Certainly, tell us a few stories about some of the guys at Dortmund. I mean, I know that Dortmund was a very conflicted club at the time. Sadly, they were having extremely bad financial problems ahead of.
That was a big problem. But I think with the players was everything. We had a lot of names also. So imagine that you come from a small team in Holland and you come over there and you start training, you know. And before I was always, for years I was the number one in my team, and now I was the second one, and I was already 29 and I was never going outside. So I came there, and in the beginning I thought, really, am I a goalkeeper or what? Because everything was, if they start shooting, it was going in, you know. I thought really, even the young guys, they were shooting like crazy hard and also very secure. So I never forget one of the first trainings that Rosicki.
Yeah, Tommy Rosicki. What a hero. An absolute genius guy. Czech Republic.
Yeah.
Later playing for Arsenal.
And, and we were playing a big, very big game, big field, big pitch. So he was what he did in games after I knew, you know, but before I didn't know. He was picking up the ball from between Burns and Matt Selber. So he take the ball and he dribble, and I thought, what is he gonna do? You know, he was looking and looking around, and it was maybe 35 meters or something. And then suddenly, out of nothing, he made a shot. I thought, what is this? I saw the ball coming, but I couldn't do anything. But it was on the crossbar. For me, it was like that, a relief that it was going on the crossbar. But I thought, hey, what is this here? And then directly, you have something in your head from there. You have to be very sharp, you know? That's what we talk about, very sharp.
Yeah, goalkeeping is incredible. We have a fan club of Borussia Dortmund, which, of course, we welcome you as one of our honorary members. I'd be delighted to have you as an honorary member, along with Neven Subotic, Günter Kutowski, Michael Lusch, Jörg Heinrich, and other great players. Certainly to have Dennis Rentenau would be an honor for us as one of our honorary members.
It would be an honor for me also, with this kind of players you call.
Thank you, Dennis. We have a beer with you one day in London.
No problem. Maybe two.
Fantastic. What is your favorite kind of beer, by the way?
I think Heineken.
Heineken, okay. Because Dortmund is the beer city, and I guess you tried some Dortmunder Union beer as well when you were there.
Yeah. I tried also.
Were the guys enjoying some beers after the games? I mean, we always think of the professional players as being very sober and so on.
Of course, when we went after the game, we had you have the how you call that for the sponsors, and we had our own place there
in the lounge
with the team, and with the family. And with the rest of the players, and then you had some food, take one or two beer, go home, you know. And if we had a good game, sometimes I stayed there, and then I stay with AB, drink a beer, or we go out for a dinner, you know. So that was it was okay.
It sounds absolutely great. Indeed, I've never had that experience of being in B4B in the players' lounge, although I've been in Millwall in London in the VIP lounge, and also Oxford United, because I'm based here in London, as you know. But and that's a pretty cool experience, seeing the chairman and all the people and so on. And one time I was sitting next to the chairman for the semi-final of the cup for Oxford United, and that was a really cool experience. But tell me, so Ebbe Smolarek, really a top guy. I've heard that from Niklas Jensen. I don't know if you remember Niklas.
I know his name, but I didn't play with him.
Yeah, he mentioned Ebbe Smolarek is really a very top personality. Who were the other cool personalities in the team? I heard Dede used to organize some pretty cool parties. Is it true?
He always took some ice, you know, and after a game, some ice boxes or something, and put a lot of ice in it. But I didn't know why. So one day I asked, I said, "What? Yeah, we need for drinks, huh?" He said. I heard he had a swimming pool, and then all the Brazilian guys came over there from around, you know, also from other teams. And then they had a party or something.
Wow, amazing. Even ladies would come, some nice ladies would come to the party?
I don't know. I wasn't there, so I don't know.
Yeah, Delron Buckley told me that he was married at the time, so he didn't want to go to those player parties, as he called it, because his wife would have a problem with that. But
of course.
I guess those player parties are pretty legendary.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. I wasn't there also. I just heard it.
And tell us a bit just about the young Nuri Sahin, because he certainly is a legend of Borussia Dortmund, a local guy coming from nearby. And do you remember
at
Nuri?
At that time he was 16 years old, and he was a very smart guy and quiet, you know, like normal on that age. But on the pitch, he did very well in training also. Yeah, he was very, very good player.
What?
Very kind personality also.
I must say that's exactly how Nuri comes across. I remember reading the story about he was a ball boy in the Westfalenstadion, and he was really part of the youth academy and so on, coming from a local team. And much like yourself, he really made it. And I understand now, having moved to Werder Bremen, he's going to play in Turkey for his last couple of seasons. So, yeah, I definitely wish Nuri well. And he's definitely a real Borussia. Another real Borussia, of course, is Lars Ricken, who is now head of the academy. When you met Lars, could you imagine that he would one day become head of Borussia Dortmund Academy? I mean, of course, he's remembered for his goal for the 3-1, that lob over the goalkeeper. I mean, as a goalkeeper, even you must have laughed when he scored that goal, right?
Yeah, not laughing, you know. It's not... because you know, I'm thinking like that, and I was thinking like that. You know, it can happen. It can happen to me and to anyone. You know, so you feel how the goalkeeper is feeling.
Yes.
And that's you know, that's why I'm not. Of course, when something in an amateur league is happening, then you can laugh, but not on that level.
Champions League final.
Yes, and. But when I came over there I didn't think Lars would be the at that moment, you know, you're not thinking about that also. But I think he would work his whole life at Dortmund. But that is something that was there.
And was I right in thinking that your most memorable game was the 4-2 win over Hamburg? Or what would you say was your most memorable game?
I didn't play that game. That was the game that Roman Weidesauer came back. He was operated on his knee, and the wound was okay, but it was too fast to play for him. And he wanted to play the game, but after the game, the wound was open again. So they had to stitch it again, and then the season was over. So he better could wait a little bit longer and play at the end. But for me, it was the game was very nice, by the way. I think Mathieu Amoah was also in the game. And then he jumped a few times like crazy. He was so explosive, and it was a very good game. But I'm more the memories, you know, that I played those games at the end, maybe 9 or 10 games, and this one I didn't play there. So the most game that was against I'm thinking Hannover. Because my grandpa died a few days before, and the day after was the funeral, and we played against Hannover away game, and they were too strong for us that time or something, and they were coming and very big guys, and but I was playing. One of the best games, I think, that I played for Dortmund, I think, yeah.
Amazing.
And then we won that game, but we came behind 1-0, and then we won that game 2-1, I think.
I remember very well, in fact, 2006, I was at the World Cup with my stepfather Erhard and my brother Oscar. And Erhard is from Dortmund. And we went to the Hannover Stadium to watch the last 16, Spain against France of the World Cup. And it was a beautiful stadium, absolutely beautiful stadium. And Hannover 96 is certainly one of the old teams of Germany. It's a famous one. What other games do you really remember? What are the memories that really stick with you? And also, what was your special experience of the Südtribüne, really? Do you remember some special moments or songs or something which really comes back to you?
Special moments or songs, no. It's so... So coming to you, what I say before, you cannot describe it. For me, it's difficult to describe how it feels. You come from any city that there could be 12,500 people in the stadium, so there were two times more at one side.
Absolutely,
so the whole stadium was. When you play for 82,000 people, you have always the thing. I had always the feeling we cannot lose, with so many people behind us, you cannot lose.
What an amazing thing! What an amazing experience! And I don't know if you feel this. I've been, as I said, I lived in Dortmund for 10 years, but I've also been going to Dortmund games. I went to 6 games last season. Including the away game at Mainz and also the Champions League game against Bruges, 0-0. Bruges is always a tough opponent to play against. And this season I've been to the game in Barcelona and watched Messi play against Borussia Dortmund. That was really awesome.
Yeah.
It's really cool. What did you feel about the city of Dortmund? It's really a place which loves football, isn't it? I mean, it's the city and BVB, it's one and the same, really. The people love football in Dortmund, don't they?
Yeah, if you see the how the people come to the stadium and everything, it was very very different with Holland also, because the first game at home was against Schalke. So I see people walking together with yellow, black, and blue. They're walking together to the stadium with the beer in their hands, And I thought, hey, what's going on here? Because in Holland, it's not possible that people are going together to the stadium with Feyenoord and Ajax or something, And with the Feyenoord shirt and the Ajax shirt.
Yeah.
So it's not possible. So there was more respect, and then we came with the bus to the stadium, and then people are standing next to each other. The one is clapping for us, and the other one is making his middle finger to us, and next to each other.
Amazing,
in
right?
Holland, it would be a fight, a huge fight, And so I saw that. I thought, huh, crazy. What's happening here?
Yeah.
It's just a good atmosphere,
Yeah, our fan club members, we have more than 200 fan club members, and we go to more or less during the season, each of the games, we send one or two guys out there to Germany and get tickets from Borussia Dortmund, which we're very grateful for. And the tickets are costing just like £20, which is, compared to the Premier League, where we pay like £50 or £60, it's really cheap. But as you say, also what we love is the people in Dortmund are very friendly, and also the food is good and the beer is good, and it's just a nice atmosphere.
The stadium, it's very nice. Yeah, it's very nice. Nice bratwurst, nice beer with it. It's very nice. Yeah, my friends were always got a few times coming with a big touring car, and then they tried to do, and they made one whole day from it. And they were also like, how is possible? This is the best way to the football, just standing there, drinking hard work.
That's fantastic. That's the perfect soundbite that the fans really want to hear. Thank you, Dennis. So I guess really we should move on, mindful of the time, and we should really talk about another really crazy, brilliant team that you went to join. And I mean, certainly one that here is very admired here in England. Ajax, really, I mean, it has to be the most legendary club. 34 titles, 4 Champions Leagues, amazing fans, amazing academy. And you're joining Ajax, you're playing with guys like Huntelaar, many guys played in the Premiership, Snyder, Edgar Davids, who I met actually once. I'll tell you the story, it's a pretty funny story. And of course, the unbelievable Marco van Basten, who scored for me the most brilliant goal I've ever seen in my life in the 1988, from the right. I can't remember who gave him the assist, but he rises up and shoots. Like a goal I've never seen. And then Luis Suarez. How could we forget about Luis Suarez? So, amazing. What was it like in Ajax? Why is Ajax such a legendary football club like Borussia Dortmund?
It's a different way of playing, I think. At that time, Ajax is in Holland, maybe a bit like Bayern Munich, and they have most of the time they have the best players and everything to make it to the championship. But also from the youth, of course, always players from the youth. But it was very funny that when I signed for Ajax, the players in Dortmund were saying, "Oh, it's a great club. That's a great big club, also, you know." But they're playing also for a very big club, you know. But they were looking also at Ajax like what you say now, you know, that it's a big team. That was for me a good feeling that they were thinking about it like that. But also to go after 1 year, and it was not easy to make. But when I come to Ajax and spoke with Ajax, it was very very kind and open, and I thought, let's do it.
So you're playing with Borussia Dortmund, and then suddenly you get a chance to go to Ajax, the Bayern Munich of Holland, the great 34 championship winning team, and so on. And then you're standing there with guys like Edgar Davids and Marco van Basten. I mean, you must have really thought, my career is taking off. Now I'm really going to be a very huge player.
No, I was not thinking about that. Some games, you know, and at that time Maarten Stekenburg was first goalkeeper, and the year before I think it was not the best year, and after that he was coming up more and more, and you saw he was developing very well at that time. So that was 3 years for Ajax, it was very good to be there, also to meet those to see those players who were career and follow them later, you know, what they were doing and where they were playing, and where all the players were going from Ajax.
I mean, of course, I would love to know about Marco van Basten. As I said, I really admire this player. Another player I admire hugely is Dennis Bergkamp, who was just a brilliant Dutch player, his legend of Arsenal. But I'm a B4B fan, so I guess you can imagine that I'm most interested in B4B history and players and so on. But tell me, did you imagine that Luis Suarez would become the guy of Barcelona and Liverpool and really one of the most infamous strikers in the world, frankly?
Not for Barcelona, to be honest. When we were playing there, he was he was crazy sometimes when we were shooting after the training. He was never serious, you know, he shoot balls everywhere. But in the games, he always shoot on target. And that was his thing also. And when he lost the ball, he directly stood up and he go directly after the ball and he took it back. You know, he was a player who's not thinking about things, you know. He's just doing things. And that's made him a big player, I think. That he's not thinking about anything, just play. Just doing the game and have fun in the game.
I have to say that I'm really interested what you're saying there, because they talk a lot about being in the zone, and I think I've experienced that as a football player, being in the zone even at my level. And it really, when you can drop your mind and just be fully present in the moment, it's really the most extraordinary thing. And I could imagine that being on the field with some of those guys like, as I said, Huntelaar or Davids or Luis Suarez, it must have lifted your own game and give you a feeling of being really just have some very memorable experiences and great memories. Who were the personalities of that Ajax team? I tell you briefly how I met Edgar Davids. It was in London, and I was going to a church meeting. I'm a Christian myself, and we had a lunch break, and it's near Berkeley Square. And I went down to get my lunch, and I just looked through the window of a shop, and it was a shop. They were selling Rolls-Royce cars, you know, these huge cars. And Edgar Davids at the time, he was manager of a team. I can't remember quite which team it was. I think it was
Derby County, I think.
Yeah, it could be. I think so, or Barnet. But certainly he was
Barnet,
yeah, the black and yellow one,
yeah.
Like Dortmund. And he was there with his mother buying a Rolls Royce car. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Pretty cool story. I don't know if he bought the car, but certainly they were trying it out.
Yeah.
Was Edgar always this kind of flashy guy with the super big cars and things? Did you ever get into this, buying great cars yourself?
Yeah, I had the Volkswagen Touareg. And I didn't buy any big cars or something.
Yeah.
Edgar Davids, he was, when he came to Ajax, of course, he was in the end of his career, I think. He was 35 or so, but still fit and in shape, and still hungry to do things, you know. He has sort of there in everything. But in the preseason, I think it was the first season. In the preseason, he broke his leg or something, and that was very bad for us in a friendly game.
Well, yeah, those injuries must. You still talked about Roman Weilenfeller's injury, and certainly I can imagine that it. It can make a very huge difference. We've seen that this season with Borussia Dortmund and Marco Reus, who's the captain and the leader of the Borussia Dortmund team, him being injured has really made a huge difference. It just leaves a huge hole when it's someone so influential. Before I move on to the latter stages of your career, and maybe we just talk for another 10 minutes or so, I just want to ask you about something very unique and special. Winning the Dutch Cup, the KNVB Cup in 2007. Amazing. Yeah. Whether you were on the bench, you were in the team, and you won the cup, and what a great, great, great feeling to win silverware. It's the dream of all the football players, right?
Yes, of course. I played some games, you know, in the cup season and in the beginning, and after Maarten played, I think, from the quarterfinal and semifinal, and we ended at that season. We ended at the second place. The week before, we won in Tilburg against Willem II with 2-0, but it was not enough to get the championship. Just the championship of one goal difference, and yeah, that was very, very hard for us at that time, because 1 week later we had the cup final. Everybody was very, very down that week, so we, yeah, you couldn't say anything about the game, about the final, if it's going to go well. It was against AZ, and AZ also lost then the championship, because if AZ was winning their last game, they were champions.
Is this Alkmaar, so right?
Yes, AZ Alkmaar. So we played the game, and I think it was 1-1, and then at the end it was penalties, and a lot of penalties, and I think and then we won the cup, so it was it's good to win that, of course, but we were a little bit sad about the week before.
Would it be fair to say that that was the highest moment of your career, winning the cup, and the moment when you win the cup? Is it really just a huge experience, huge feeling?
Yeah, it's a good feeling, but when you're not on the pitch, it's different.
I can imagine.
When we made it with a small team with NEC to the UEFA Cup, and you have a lot of influence in that season, and you feel more that you win something. You know, of course you win something because you're part of the team, but it's different. It's different.
One of the questions I always love to ask is about the collection of football shirts. And I was always fascinated by this brand called Ullsport. Do you know? Do you remember Ullsport? They made the great gloves and so on. And did you have your own contract providing you with gloves for yourself?
Yes, Ullsport. And I had a problem then when I was going to Dortmund. They want me to play with Nike.
Yeah.
So I said yes, but Nike. We have Nike, and that's a problem because I have already a contract signed for 4 years, 2 years before. So I had two more years with Ullsport. So they say, okay, then we can do nothing about it. So then you play with Nike shoes and wear your Ullsport gloves. But then I always had the simple gloves, not expensive, the expensive ones or something. And so I played with a very simple glove, was a little bit, I think, orange and white or something, and very simple. And then I was coming to Dortmund, and then they from Ullsport, they saw some pictures or something. And they called the agent who was doing that for me from Ullsport. And he said, that's too cheap. Everybody is going to ask for cheap gloves. He has to wear all that gloves. So I said, I had to wear more expensive gloves.
Amazing. 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 I can imagine that you each have your signature shoes and your signature gloves and so on. Did your gloves have your name on them as well?
Yes.
That's pretty cool. That's really pretty cool. And I remember as a youngster looking at the Ullsport they had literally, they used to do the autograph cards of all the players that they had from Ullsport. And they really had all the great goalkeepers. I remember Jean-Marie Pfaff, and Eike Immel, and all these great, great goalkeepers. They were all Ullsport players. So I guess to be part of that must have felt pretty cool to be one of those guys. Yeah.
Yeah. We had a lot of also in Holland. There were a lot of players with Ullsport. But yeah, suddenly there came other brands, eh? And now there are too many brands in clubs and everything.
So, Dennis, we come to the latter part of the show and also the latter part of the your career. And one question I always love to ask is, what about shirts? The goalkeeper shirts are always some of the coolest shirts. Indeed, Roman Bürki's shirt this year for the new season, the black one, is absolutely fantastic. Did you keep any shirts from your career?
Yes, I have from every year that I played. I have a shirt, you know, and I have the shirt where when I came in for the first time, that kind of things. And I have from anything, from Dortmund, from Ajax, from Almere, from PSV. I have from all the years I played. I have my own shirt. And in Holland it was very difficult to change shirts because the small teams, you know, they don't have their contracts with the sponsor, with the clothing brand and everything. And in Dortmund we could do it 10 times or so. You could change a shirt with a player or something. So I did that. In Germany, I had a few times to get some player shirt from some teams.
Which was a cool shirt that you have from that time?
From Hertha BSC, the number 10, the old Brazilian guy, Marcelinho.
Wow, absolutely great. And,
it was nice because we played a game. Was 0-0, I think, and he had one chance, one against one, and I took it. And I thought, yeah, after I get your shit. to remember this, yeah.
That's awesome, blue and white shirt.
Yeah, a very dark blue, is it? Dark blue, white. So yeah, for the in Holland also, it was nice to have the shirt of Gomez. The goalkeeper from PSV, he's in England. He's still in England now, I think. Eh?
Right, absolutely. Yeah, PSV, a huge club. In fact, I was in Eindhoven myself. I flew from Eindhoven Airport. I flew to Barcelona to watch the Barca game. And, you know, as a fan, it's almost very exciting, really, to be traveling around, especially around Europe, to go to games and have that anticipation. And I can't even imagine how cool it must be to be a player. Although it's a very hard job, isn't it? A very tough career. Let's talk about the last part of your career. So before we come on to the coaching and what you're doing now, I just want to ask you, you go back to NEC via Almere, and NEC seems to be a really huge club for you. And I remember seeing this really awesome banners that the fans put out with Gentena on it, and you sent me that photograph of you. What is it that makes NEC so special? I guess for you it's like a mother and a father at the same time, right? This is really your home club where you feel it's really your life.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm born and raised in Nijmegen. So what I mentioned before, I was 9 years old to come into that club, and I was 29 years old when I was leaving to Dortmund. And after that, I always said if there's a chance to go back, you know, after I had some teams, then I will be back if the possibility is there. But you never know if it's going to happen and if the time is there and if the place is there, you know, you don't have a lot of space for goalkeepers. So, but it was funny that the fans, they never forget me. And that is also a very, very good feeling, you know, because you know you did well. So for them, and that's good. So the first, time I came back was that game with Ajax against NEC, and then Maarten was sick, so I played the game, and we played 2-2, and this huge band was coming up, and yeah, when we were coming up the pitch, and then I saw that, I didn't know, so I thought, what is this? Unbelievable. And so every time I came back in the stadium, they made something. So then I went Ajax, I went to Venlo. Then they make Dortmund 150 kilometers, Amsterdam 120 kilometers, of Venlo 70 kilometers. Like you're coming home, you know. Like still, you come closer and closer and closer to home. Like that kind of banner was. So that yeah, and then when I came back, they had some banners.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I guess it's fair to say that you have even till this day, you still have a good relationship with NEC and the fans there. They remember you.
With the fans, yes. With some people, other people in NEC, I don't think so that the relation is good, because otherwise I would work over there.
That's a great point. So that really brings us neatly to the last part of the show. And what's so amazing is that I used to live in United Arab Emirates myself. I was working for a British university in Sharjah. I don't know if you know Sharjah.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, it's actually a quite nice little city, a very Arabic city near to Dubai. And I really enjoyed there. And they actually have a football team as well, Sharjah. I guess you've probably been there.
They were champion. I think 2 years ago.
Pretty, Sharjah. Pretty cool.
And now the academy of Sharjah is going to work together with Ajax.
Wow, that's an amazing story.
A few people from Ajax, where I've worked with last year, the year before, in the academy of Ajax, they are coming over here. Like, five people will come over, and they will going to the academy of Sharjah.
Indeed, I read that Bert van Marwijk has been coaching the United Arab Emirates national team. Your old coach.
Yeah.
Did you?
It was. I had come because the goalkeeper of our team, Shamsi, he was then he wanted to select them, but. He wants to have free, the goalkeeper. So I say, what's going on with you, man? Yeah, but now I'm with family. I say, you have to go over there. And they had a tournament in Qatar. They play over there three games, I think. And the goalkeeper was like, maybe. But then he said, yes, of course I go, of course I go. And he was going, and then I had to contact with Bert. I say, he's coming your way, finally. So, and then he played all the games. So, yeah, that was good for him.
A great feeling. And of course, you're something like an explorer, really, going out to United Arab Emirates. I mean, I know myself how hard it was when I was there, being on my own in this country, and it's very hot, and the sand and the desert, but also pretty cool as well. The shopping is incredible in Dubai, and some great hotels and nightlife and so on. And you can have a pretty cool time there. So, yeah, I really hope you really enjoy your time over there. I'm going to take a long shot here, because I hadn't even researched that, to be honest with you. But by any chance, did you meet Maradona when he was coaching in the UAE league?
No.
It must have not coincided.
I saw some pictures of our captain with him, Islam Matar, and he had some picture with him. I saw it last week, I think, the picture. But yeah, then at that time I wasn't here.
Yeah, absolutely. I just thought I'd just check. Just checking. Maradona, what a legend.
Yeah, of course.
Just tell me briefly, in the last 2 minutes of the show, what's it like to be now goalkeeping coach? Your son is actually a professional goalkeeper. He's training to be a professional goalkeeper, right? He's Diane. And it must make you very proud to see your son with the same skills and ability like yourself. It reminds me of Kasper and Peter Schmeichel, of course, the great Dane is one of the greatest goalkeepers in history, for me at least.
It's a different level, the Schmeichel family and the Hensler family. But, your kids, that's everything for you. So if they like it, that's more important for me than if they achieve... Of course, they want to, but if they don't, I'm always proud of them. It's not about if they achieve big things. You're always proud at your kid, but he has to do it himself, And if he wants to achieve something, he has to work hard. And now since we're here last year. He realized that it's not easy to achieve it. You have to do something for it. So that's a good thing. But he's learning that you have to have the right mentality to come somewhere, and that's with everything in life.
That's a wonderful way to end the show. You have to have the right mentality. I've learned so much tonight. I've really felt like I've been able to share the experience of being part of B4B, but also the Ajax as well, and also the feeling of NEC being somehow a family club where the fans are really close to the players. And I love the story about them following you around and going to different places and so on, and this huge banner, which certainly... I'm going to put that on our website to show your great experience there. And and it's also really cool to speak to a goalkeeper and just hear the goalkeeper's story and hear how much courage is needed to be a goalkeeper, and sometimes craziness too. And, I look at some of these guys like Buffon and so on, who is another great legend playing until he's 43 years old in Juventus. He's just extended his contract. I find that amazing at his age.
Unbelievable. I was in Holland then, and I said to my kids, I said, it's unbelievable, man. At that age, that level, it's crazy.
Crazy. Thank you, Dennis Centena, for this amazing interview. It's been a real honor and pleasure to speak with you. Do you have any social media tags where people can contact you if they want to check you out on Twitter or send you some Facebook messages or something like that?
Facebook, yes. Facebook and Instagram. Just on the money.
Just Dennis Rentner.
Yes.
Perfect.